Nehemiah chapter 8, I want you to read verses 1 through 3 with me as we look at that chapter. Remember, we have been following Nehemiah as God put it on his heart to help rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in order to protect the people who had come back from their dispersion. And now as we look at chapter 8, we're seeing something a little bit different. Chapter 8, verse 1, it says, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all those who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced a square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and all others who could understand, and all the people listened attentively at the book of the law. Let's pray for a minute. Lord, as we open your word, would you teach it to us? And would you give us the understanding of it? And would you help us to obey as we see what you have for us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know the theme of Nehemiah is restoration. In the first seven chapters, we see the restoration of the walls, a wall in Jerusalem. But in chapters 8 and following, we see the restoration of Israel's spiritual life. And to me, that is one of the most important parts of this whole book. When you look at what we see in chapter 8, you see that they allowed God's word to touch every area of their lives, and the spiritual results were amazing as they read and obeyed God's word. Now let's look at the changes that came about as things took place. Number one, you will recognize right here in chapter 8 that they were prepared for the word. They prepared themselves to hear God. I know a lot of times we walk in the church and Saturday was busy and we're a little bit sore, maybe a little bit tired from working so much on Saturday, and we come in, and sometimes, to be honest with you, I know I feel that way sometimes. We come in and we're not quite prepared to be in the Word of God. Thank you, sir. When you look at these people, though, they had prepared themselves for God's Word, and you will recognize that they are the ones who wanted to hear it. Their attitude, as you look at their attitude, they wanted to hear and they asked for God's word to be read. We saw that in verse 1. They said, we want to hear what God has for us. Read it to us. Now, when you hear that request, you have to realize that they weren't like us. They didn't have a bound up book like this with all of the word of God in it. We are very fortunate in our day and time. We have the word of God in so many ways. I mean, I have it on my telephone, I have it on my computer, we hear it on the air all the time, especially if you hear something like K-Love. We are blessed to have it in so many languages around the world. And missions like Wycliffe translators are still translating more and more languages, the Word of God into more and more languages. It's amazing what they can do today. I think I mentioned this a while back, but I saw that Google Translation is working on being able to translate a language in real time. In other words, you could say, would you speak into my Google Translator in my phone here, and somebody in Swahili, and it would translate for you, sort of like, you know, on the old Star Trek and others, you know, they had this thing that automatically translated for them. But these people wanted to hear the word, they asked for it, and they were prepared. And I think the best preparation for a changed life is the desire to know what God wants and to want to obey it. I think every time you approach God's word, it ought to be, God, here I am. Show me what you want me to do. Teach me what I need to do for you. I'm willing to obey. If we approach that way, God's word will change our lives, I think, as it did change the lives of these people. Now, they not only heard it, but they accepted it. That's the second thing. They accepted God's word as the authority in spiritual matters. I know in our day and time, there's a lot of refusal to take God's word, this word, as God's word. We have the Quran, we have this, we have that, we have philosophers, we have all these things, And people are forgetting that this is God's book. Not the Book of Mormon, not all these other things, but this is God's Word. And this has lasted through the ages. And this is what the truth is. And this is what we need to stand our life on. I mentioned it before, but sometimes on Facebook, somebody will say, Confucius said blah, blah, blah. And you know what I always do? I always try to find a verse in the Bible that says, Jesus said, because that's the real truth to me. They accepted it as God's Word. They wanted to obey it. They respected it, by the way, by standing up. There in verse 5, look at verse 5. When the Word of God was read, when he opened up the book as he was there on that big platform, it says, Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. And we can't even get people to stand up for the national anthem nowadays, you know. They showed that respect. When it was read, they stood up. What does that say to you? That they were saying, God, we want to know what you have for us. We respect your word and we're going to obey it. And I think too that they recognize it as a sole source to know God and to know his plan for our lives. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15, 16? The Apostle Paul said that to Timothy. Pay attention, this word that you have in your hands is God's very word, and it is important to be used for the teaching and for the growth of God's people. And it's important that we recognize it. If you don't regard the Bible as God's word, you will not make Bible study a priority in your life. Isn't that true? How many of you read Shakespeare every day? Huh? How many of you got to have the news every day? Yeah, okay. And depending on which one you hear is, you know, depends on your attitude. But we know that God's word is the inspired word, and if we realize that it's important, we're going to put it into our lives. These people did. They realized it was God's own word. Many say they believe in the authority of the Bible, but they don't obey the practical things that are in it. You know, if you say that you believe God, Bible is God's word, that's the only book for your spiritual growth, that it's what you need to obey, and you don't obey it, guess what you're saying? I don't really believe it's that important, right? And so when we look at these people, they accept it as God's word, they accept it as the authority to build their spiritual lives on. And by the way, you notice there they arrange their schedule in order to hear the word. They arrange their schedule in order to hear it. As you look here in these verses, that they put aside everything else to hear it for all these days they were there. They put aside everything else. Nothing was more important to them than hearing the Word of God. Let's be honest. We arrange our schedules around those things that are most important to us, right? When a real hunter says, it's hunting season, what do the wives usually say? Uh-oh, I'm not going to see him much, right? Because that's important to him. Whenever we talk about sports, and we talk about television, and we talk about all these things, we arrange our schedule to do the things that are important to us. When you have a real sports fan, are they going to let a little rain stop them from going to the game? You ever watch some of these games where it's snowing, and you look in the stands, you think nobody's going to be, and here's these faithful people. They're all bundled up, and they got all their long underwear and whatever else on. They got a heater, and they're out there, and the snow's falling. And the teams have to be kind of looking at each other from a distance through that snow. But there's those faithful fans. Where's their priority? In the sports, right? If they're a New Orleans fan, they might be wearing a bag, but they're in the stands even in the rain, right? And so, you know, when we talk about priorities, we make time for what really is important to us. And when we say we don't have time for God's Word, what does that say? That's not a priority for me. I've got time to watch the news. I've got time to be on TV, watching TV. I've got time for doing my sports. I've got time for this. I've got time. We make time for what's important to us. These people made time for what was important to him. And by the way, a word about preparing your family for Sunday, even young kids. If it's a priority, let's get some rest and let's be ready on time. You know, lots of times I hear people say, oh, we just couldn't make it. Why? Well, you know, we had this doing, going, that going, and we got to bed late. Do you make your kids get to bed on time so they can go to school on time? Yes. You know, do we make sure that we get plenty of rest in order to go to work on Monday? Most of the time we do, right? No, Ryan doesn't do that? Okay. He's got his wife telling him to do all these. No, I won't get into that. Okay. So we, you know, we make time for what's important. And I think when it comes to God's Word, we need to be ready. We need to have families ready. We need to have them, you know, where they're rested so they can come to Sunday school and enjoy it. And they can understand what's going on. And they're not sleeping in the pews. And that includes you, by the way. Now, I can see it last week, you know, when the time changed, we're all mixed up. But you know, when we have something that's important, we make time for it. We arrange our schedules. We have the right attitude. We accept it as God's Word. Now, look at their participation in God's Word. Participation in the Word. They participated wholeheartedly in receiving the Word. They were willing to endure inconvenience to hear God's Word. And you see that throughout this whole thing. In fact, let's look at this. In verse 3, it says they got up early to hear the Word of God. Look at 8:3. He heard it aloud. He read it aloud from daylight till noon. As he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of men, women, and all who could understand. So they got up at daylight to hear God's Word. Hey, let's change our service to 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. How many of you are going to be here? Well, I know some of you will. Yeah. Hey, I might not be here at 6 a.m., okay? I'm going to be truthful. So they were willing to endure inconvenience. Are we willing to endure inconvenience to go to a sports thing? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We make plans. You know, we get everything done. Are we willing to get up early to go hunting? Oh, yeah. I see Roy back there. Yeah, Roy. Yeah, he's going to get up early, right? Yeah. I mean, hey, what's important? Are we willing to get up early to do things we want to do? Yes, we are. But these people were out there at 6 a.m. listening to God's Word. Now, I'm not saying we change our service, because like I said, you might have to do it without me if we did. And they also listened for 6 hours from daybreak to noon. That's in verse 3 there. 6 hours for 7 days straight, according to what we see here. And they probably stood the whole time. How about if we all stand through the whole church service for 1 hour? Now, I don't mind telling you, you know, when you go to these places and they say, stand the whole time for the songs. And they got all these songs that are so long. Hey, I'm looking for a chair. Okay? These people meant business. They were willing to endure that inconvenience. Are you willing to endure a little bit of inconvenience to study God's Word? They participated wholeheartedly. Now, the things that we are most willing to inconvenience ourselves for are the things that matter for us. How much inconvenience are you willing to bear in order to hear and study God's Word? Secondly, they made themselves part of the process. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, sometimes folks come to church and they treat study of the Bible and worship like a spectator sport. They say, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to let everybody do and let everybody sing and let everybody study and I'm back here. Hey, is the air conditioner on like I like it? Is the seat comfortable enough? Then I'll come. Is it at the time that I like to come to church? These people made it. They were part of the process. Let's look here. Number one, in verse 8, they asked for the reading of God's Word. We mentioned that before. They wanted to hear for themselves what God had for them. In verse 5, it says they stood for the reading of God. We mentioned that. They had an active respect for it. In verse 6, they worship God spontaneously. Look at verse 6, chapter 8, verse 6. Excuse me. It says, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. They bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They weren't just standing there, okay, Ezra, come on, let's do it, buddy. You talk, you go, we're just standing here. You don't realize sometimes how y'all look when we're singing, some of you. Everybody's singing and you're going. Maybe sometimes, you know, when we're talking about the Word, our minds get off, and I've done this before, and you kind of stare at the preacher and he sort of fades in and out once in a while. If I'm stepping on toes, I'm sorry. I'm stepping on my own toes. By the way, they also became part of the process by obeying the Word. Look at chapter 8, verse 14. It says, as they were heard the Word of being spoken, look at verse 14, they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, the Israelites were to take live in booths during the feast of seventh month, and that they should proclaim His word and spread it throughout their towns in Jerusalem. Go into the hill country and bring back branches for olive and wild olive leaves and from the myrtles and palms and shade trees to make booths, as is written. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square of the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from the exile built booths and lived in them from the days of Joshua son of Nun until that day. The Israelites had not celebrated. It is like this, and their joy was very great. Now, what's he saying? He was reading about the Feast of Tabernacles, and what they did during the Feast of Tabernacles, they would build kind of like little camping areas, and they would sleep in there, they spend time in there, and reminded them of their forefathers and foremothers who went through the wilderness. It was to remind them of what God had done during wilderness. And when they heard him talking about that, they said, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. They responded to it. How many times have you listened to the Word of God and said, I'm going to do that right now? You ever do that? When the Word of God convicts you, I'm going to do that right now. But so often we're tempted to make excuses. Well, that was for somebody else. And we sort of say, well, I'm going to do that later, that kind of thing. But they obeyed what they read. Next, they really listened. Now, I want you to notice that. They really listened. Have you ever tried to talk to someone who was distracted by something else? You know, you're talking to someone and they're looking over your shoulder. Yeah. Like that. You ever do that? You ever see that? One time I visited with a family. They weren't church members. The guy's mother had trusted Christ, and she wanted me to visit with them and share the gospel. And they had their TV on when I went. And as I sat there, the TV was still on. They were looking around me to see what was on TV. I got the message. They didn't want me there. Okay? By the way, both those people came to know the Lord later. But it's distracting. And can you imagine how God feels when His Word is being taught, when His Word is being read, and our mind is sort of somewhere else? Have you ever taken the Bible and said, I'm going to do my Bible reading today? And you read through it and you kind of mindlessly go through it. And if somebody would say, what did you read? I don't know. It's kind of like you're reading in school, you know? They really listened. These people listened attentively. Chapter 8, verse 3. Look at the last part of chapter 8, verse 3. It says, as he read in the presence of men, women, and others who could understand, and all the people listened attentively. Now, our wives always complain, guys, right? You hear me, but you're not listening. Well, these people listened attentively. They really listened. They listened actively. In chapter 8, verse 9, look at chapter 8, verse 9, it says, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe and Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. You see what they were doing? They were responding. They were listening actively. And why were they weeping? Because they realized that they had been disobeying God. They had been disobeying God. And they obeyed as they understood, and they began to do what God wanted. They listened actively. A third thing, look at the products of their preparation and participation. They understood the word there in verse 12. They understood the word. Look at verse 12. Then all the people went away to eat and to drink and send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words they had that had been made known to them. They understood them. It affected their minds. It affected their minds. They saw the facts and how they fit together. The Holy Spirit has that ministry in our lives of illuminating our minds. And then they responded to the word. Secondly, in verse 9, it affected their emotions. We just saw that in verse 9. But you notice that understanding came before emotion. And a lot of times in church, people come and they're emotional, and that's all they're thinking about. Oh, I had a great time in church. Wow. I was... What did you learn? I don't know. I was too busy being emotional. I couldn't understand. But these people listened to the word, and their emotions were affected as they understood the words of God, how they disobeyed. It affected their minds, and it affected their hearts. It affected their emotions because they knew what God wanted. And now they were touched by the Holy Spirit, and then they began to do what God wants them to do. They were mourning over their sin. They indicated repentance. They had a changed mind, and they wanted to do the right thing, as we talked about a minute ago. The third thing there is they obeyed the Word. They obeyed the Word. That's the whole point of God's Word being shared, right? If as a parent you talk to your children about something they need to do, what do you expect? They need to obey. Then things are different. And that's what these people did. They heard the word. They listened attentively. They understood the word. It affected their emotions even. And then they obeyed the word of God. It affected their will. They made the decision to obey what they read. Look at verses 16 and 17. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs. You remember we just read that? What'd they do? They obeyed what God's word said. They made a decision. They carried out that command immediately. They didn't say, next week I'm going to do that. But they did it right away. And they continued, according to verse 18, they continued to seek understanding and obey God. In verse 18, day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the feast for 7 days. On the eighth day, in accordance with the regulations, there was an assembly. They continued to read. They continued to understand. They continued to obey. I remember years ago I met a man who said, you're a preacher? I said, yeah. You teach the Word of God? Yeah. He said, you know, I read the Bible one time, all the way through. I understood it, and I'm done. I said, really? Wow, you're some kind of genius. If you read it one time and you understood all of it. I said this, are you doing it? And that was where the conversation ended. Because he was not interested in doing it. He was interested in arguing about it and trying to put it down. He was not interested in doing the Word of God. Listen to me. As we look at this, we understand that God's Word speaks to us as we open our hearts and minds to it. And as we do that, our life will change. Let me ask you this. Has your life changed? As you listen to God's Word, the number one thing is what? You need to trust Christ as your Savior. We've talked about that over and over. God's Word says you're a sinner like the rest of us. It says you cannot get to heaven without trusting Christ as your Savior. It says that Christ paid the price on the cross for your sins. And then if you ask him, he'll give you that free gift. If you've never done that, that's the beginning of truly understanding and applying God's word. If you haven't done that, you can't get much further. But if you've already trusted Christ as Savior, my question is to you is, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with the Word of God? Are you obeying God? What areas of your life have you not allowed God's Word to touch your heart and change? Pray with me for just a minute. As we bow our heads together, what about you? If you die today, would you go to heaven? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If you've never done that, I'd ask you to do that humbly before God. And you might want to pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that that sin won't let me get to heaven. But I know that Christ died in my place on the cross. And right now, I'm trusting you instead of me. I'm asking you for that free gift of salvation. I'm asking you for forgiveness of sin. Do that quietly in your heart. Then after you've done that, you might want to pray this prayer. God, help me to learn your word and obey your word every day to show Jesus in my life. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that the Holy Spirit uses the word in our hearts. May we be responsive to the word. May we listen carefully, learn it, and then obey it. Because that's the only way we'll change into the image of Christ. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.